Am I unmuted? Okay. Okay. I'm going to read from Daily Reflections today, part of the reading. Sometimes I think making sense of making these amends is going too far. No one should have to humble himself like that. However, it is this very humbling of myself that brings me closer to the sunlight of the Spirit. AA is the only hope I have, and if I am to continue healing and gaining a life of happiness, fellowship, and harmony. I thought that really was apropos when I read that today, because if you don't know, the 12 steps are run through the Daily Reflections each month, 1 through 12. Little side note there. Yeah. So that put everything into perspective this morning when I started really thinking about this. I've thought about it all week, but, you know, kind of putting more things in the thought. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. There's that key word again, willing. I had to become willing to go to my father, my mother, when I first got here in part A of my recovery. We've talked about that. My then ex-wife, you know, I don't know. My dad's amends was really easy. Like I said, he was sober for a lot of years. He says, just go on and do what you're supposed to be doing and do your living amends. So when I did my fourth and fifth the first time, I really didn't do much else other than that, you know. So the amends making was kind of like on my own. And when I did that on my own, a lot of them blew up in my face. For years, I tried to make amends to my ex-wife. It didn't work for a long time because I was doing it without any input from a sponsor or my higher power. I should make talk about making a list. If you haven't already done so by this point, because of steps 4 and 5, make an amends list. Go over it with your sponsor. You know, I don't see any problem with re-looking at that. It's always good to take a look at that. So my amends making was very lacking for a lot of years. I always use the excuse of injuring them or others. Well, I'm one of the others. Well, that's a bunch of crap too. That has to be looked at logically. There are things that probably I've done in my past that I shouldn't go and talk to certain people because it's just going to make life worse for them. But I think I would need to discuss that kind of stuff with a sponsor. And just because I'm afraid to do something, maybe it's still a good idea that I do. But I got to be willing to take a look at those things. Step 9, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure others. So making direct amends is the best. And I'll tell you a little story why. The sponsor I had before Jim, Bob Allshouse, he's since passed. The only time he ever yelled at me, he says, "You go in and see your mother." I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, a little estranged. Doesn't matter the reasons, but I went in and talked to my mother. And for the next 6 months, we healed a lot of stuff, some direct amends, but we made peace with each other. And that was very healing for me. If it hadn't been for Bob actually yelling at me, that's what got my attention because he never did that to me anyways. My mother passed away. So I was very fortunate because of Alcoholics Anonymous and listened to a little bit of guidance from the sponsor that I was able to make those amends before my mother passed away. So when it is right, when the timing is right, don't go. I wouldn't suggest going up, running off and doing it by yourself. Kyler with a sponsor, you know, lay things out a little bit because, like I said, for years with my ex-wife, it didn't work. I got a little different perspective on it today. And I try not to create things that are going to make me have to go back and make amends. But that happens occasionally, and it's not as bad today. When I got Jim as a sponsor, part B of my recovery, and when I did this, I still was not able to make amends with my ex-wife when I wanted to. This is all in God's time. And I have to remember that. And I always say it. This has been my mantra the last probably year or so. Keep God in the conversation. Everything we do, we need to keep God in the conversation. That way I'm not going off half-cocked by myself and doing this. Because what happened was, I can't remember, I think it was after a Promises meeting on Saturday morning in Fairview. I went over and got gas. And my ex-wife leaned around the pump and goes, "Hi, Ed, how you doing?" Well, apparently my higher power wanted me to make my amends at that point because it was in his time. And we had a great conversation. It was all in peace. The previous ones, there was other people involved and there was yelling and screaming. This was a very peaceful conversation and very worthwhile for both of us. You know, it wasn't no hard feelings on either side at that point. Been a long time since we were divorced, but that's beside the point. I have to remember when I do make amends that I have to clean my side of the street and not worry about anybody else's stuff, because I'm back in the day and I occasionally can still do it, is take somebody else's inventory. Well, you know, if they hadn't have done this, or, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I have to change myself. I can't change anybody else. You know, I hesitate to talk too much about it because you know, when I look backwards, that's what I'm supposed to do. And look at the people that I've harmed and wrecked people's lives and destroyed my own in the process too. You know, that's what part of this is for, is making me realize what I've done in my life to other people. You know, and I've heard some people say, "Well, you need to make amends to yourself." What do you think the 12 steps are for? Making amends to myself has given me that new life. You know, it's taken a long time for me to get a little bit of peace in the heart. And most of that has come through making amends with people. And when Jim became my sponsor and we went through these steps, it was really hard to go through and make amends to my wife because I create a lot of damage even in recovery. And when I sat down with my son and made amends with my son, that was very humbling. That really was. It brings tears to my eyes at the moment because I almost ruined that relationship. And for me to go before him, humbly asking for his forgiveness, and he says, "Dad, you've already changed." And that was very good. You know, I've already made the living amends, but I had to verbalize it to him. And that still is ongoing. We got kind of a joke now. If I get out of hand with my mouth, I said, "Tell me to shut up, but please laugh afterwards. We got to kind of make a little bit of a joke out of this. So I know you're not really angry with me." He says, "Fair enough." And that's happened a couple occasions. I still can run my mouth because I know better than he does, of course. And I'm the old man here. Yeah. This is part of the process we've got to go through. And it said it best in the daily reflections. It's part of the humbling process. And I really believe, if you get simplistic about it, that all the 12 steps for is to beat the hell out of my ego, and this is part of it, so it allows God to come in and work in my life. I have to be willing to let him in. And part of the willingness is to do my due diligence on the steps. And I'll tell you a little funny. Oh, man, I don't think it's a year ago yet. Well, maybe a little, somewhere. John could probably tell you better because he's on here, a guy I went through the steps with. I was sitting here working on the steps. And they go, it's just like an epiphany. I never made amends to my two sisters. I have an older sister, younger. I never made amends to them. And that was 30 some years ago when I got sober. They should think the crap that I put them two girls through. They should have been on the top of my list. They put up with more than I think my parents did. And so I made amends to my older sister. And with my parents gone, she's kind of like the mother. She tries to mother. Everything's okay. My little sister's been sober almost as long as I have. It's a little bit harder with her, but I'm okay with that. It's okay. It's really good. We talked a lot of things out, which she never brought up because she didn't think I was ready to talk about them. So it was a great conversation for us. But it took 30-some years. I guess it's all in God's time. I guess. I don't know. I have another explanation for it. So I think as of we ought to know right now, my talks are short until you start asking me questions. So that's all I got for right now. Until you start asking questions.
Thanks, Ed. So as Ed has indicated, now is question time. Who has the first question? And please remember to unmute yourself before you ask the question.
It'll be a short night tonight, people.
Dave's an alcoholic. Thanks, Ed, for all you're doing there. And I compliment you in making amends with your mother. My amends with my mother originally was that I'm now an Alcoholics Anonymous. And her only response was, is there something wrong with me? In other words, this is a real mom taking a look at it. But I had the opportunity of being with her for really the last 6 years of her life. She was up at Spring Hills nursing home up there. And so I spent a lot of time with her, and I really enjoyed that time, and I think she enjoyed it. But that was when I say the 6 years were the 6 years that I was sober, and I was so glad that I had that opportunity to do it. And I trust you've had the same experience with your younger sister and it's nice. I'm assuming that sort of happened on an amend from each of you to the other. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, kind of. Because she never really made a mistake, but I'm okay with that, you know. But yeah, you're right. And I have to really say with my father, the more time I got into the program, we were able to discuss things as adults and as fellow alcoholics in his father and son. I understood a lot more about him as a human being, and hopefully he understood a little bit more about me as a human being and kind of what we're all about as a family. It was really a great time, and it helped in that aspect. So yeah, I think once you open up to another drunk, you kind of get the reciprocal, and when you're in the family, that has healed a lot of things. So yeah, you're right, Dave.
Thanks, Ed. And thanks for all you've done here the last few weeks. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else has a question?
Hi, Ed. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
Yeah. You said about just dawning on you that you hadn't made a couple of amends, and I just dawned on me within the past week or so that there's a few that I need to make yet. But the three people that I have thought about that I owe amends to and have not are all deceased. Any comments on writing the letter and making the amends to someone who has passed away?
Well, yeah, I wanted to touch on something like that and part B of that. I didn't think I did a real formal amend with my mother, so I went to her gravesite. And I've been there a couple of times because I miss her. And, it's harder, I think, when somebody's deceased, but I don't think it's impossible. It's all in your intent. you and God and another human being know what your intent is. You know, and I think when they're that important, then they bother you when you're dead. In my experience, it makes me want to live the living amends better. They want my mom and my dad always wanted to see me live a good life, of course. So my part of my amends to them is living a good life. So, but I think the acknowledgement is a big thing, whether it be in the letter or my case, I got on my knees at my mom's grave, you know, and I was able to let it go, you know. So, but it's all in the intent and in the prayerfulness of it. You know, this design for living has a process, and this is part of the process. And some of these are hard. And, it, you know, I've been very fortunate that the real close ones to me have understood a little bit better than most because we've been around AA most of our lives. But yeah, deceased ones can be a little bit different, but I think they're just as important to make, in my opinion. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Ed. And I just wanted to add, the one person that I need to make amends to, and I don't know if this is if this is a nasty feeling or what, he did pass away while I still had all my resentments. And I'm sort of glad that he's not alive, that I have to make amends to him face to face. And I don't know, but that's where it is. So I just thought I'd mention that.
You know, I also been told for over the years that sometimes, you know, just for me to purge my soul of an amends I'm supposed to make isn't always, you know, maybe I'm supposed to carry that. Maybe I'm supposed to understand in my weakness, in my drunkenness, what I did to people. Maybe I'm supposed to remember some stuff because there's a couple people I don't think I should make amends to. It's just going to make things worse in their lives, and it's going to make me feel worse. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I think just because I'm purging myself doesn't mean it gives me the right to just make somebody else more upset or more angry or cause distraught in their life. If that's the case, I think I'm supposed to carry that a little bit between me and God. That's my belief. Anyways, that's a side thought.
Any other questions, folks?
I got a question.
Here we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Jim. Thank you.
Ed, can you, thank you. Can you elaborate a little bit on financial amends?
Oh, very good that you touch on that, Jim. You know where to ask questions. You know, that's a very good point, maybe for nobody else but than myself, and you know better than most about that. I'll speak specifically about my wife, my current wife, my last wife, my loving wife. Anyways, that was one area that I always wanted to ignore. Because I was not frugal with money. Let's put it that way. It's the exact opposite. I spent money, and I'm still not that good at it. I'm better than what it was. But I was talking to Jim one time about this. He said, "Well, don't you talk to her about the bills and stuff?" I said, "Oh God, no! No way am I going to do that." You know, I dread every time I was sitting in the recliner and Jim wanted to talk to me about the bills. I cringe so bad. So he suggested I just go talk to her about it. So I did. It was uncomfortable to say the least, but I'm a part of the bill stuff today. I don't do the bills. She still does them, pays them and all that, but I know what's going on. We talk about stuff. So that's a different kind of financial amends. But when Jim said that, that's the first thing that popped up. But you know, I've had to go and pay some bills. I forget about all that stuff. I shouldn't, because that was part of my initial stuff when I got sober. it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that big, that kind of stuff. But I did pay him off, people I made amends to. And I've had people help me out over the years. I'm not going to go into any detail, but I paid them back. And those are things that I have to keep current on. But if that was that what you were talking about with Jan and me, Jim? Is that what you want me to talk about?
No, I mean, well, it's you hear about people, you know, saying they're worried about money all the time, but it tells us in the book that we, you know, we need to make amends to people we owe money to. We need to actually sit down and not run away from our responsibilities.
Right,
and you elaborated on that, because we are responsible for the wreckage of our past.
Right.
And a lot of times, financial amends, we don't talk about them in meetings or anything like that. It's just nice to hear, you know, people saying, yeah, I made a payment plan, or I did this, or I did that, because number one, it makes you feel better, like you're actually doing something, you know, to get rid of some of that guilt or that fear. And I think it's important, you know, for people to talk about that. A lot of times we hardly ever talk about it. So that's why I brought it up. And you bringing up Jan, I know you struggled with that, and now it seems to be better. So that's good. Having those meetings that you have now are very important, and maybe it would help somebody else, you know. That's all I got on it.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Jim, because, you know, not only did Jan and I figure out financial stuff through all them difficult conversations, we grew as a couple. As part of a result of that, and as part of why we're closer together, closer today than we ever have been. That's one of the reasons. She doesn't carry that burden all alone. She does do all the bills, but she doesn't carry the burden all alone of, she says, I'm doing this, and this. She needs me to know everything that's going on financially. So I think that you're right, Jim. It's very, very important for spouses to be all on the same page. Because when stuff's not all on the same page and it's hidden, or money just walks out the door and all that good stuff, it's not a good thing. So that's it on that, I guess, unless there's more questions on it.
Hi, everybody. Debbie Alcoholic.
Hi, Debbie.
Jim, I'm glad you brought that up about finances, because I think I worry every single day about it. When I was in my active addiction, I made a lot of debt. People I borrowed money from, I made my amends and paid them back. I'm talking about, you know, like store cards, all my hospitalization bills and all this and that. I've made, paid off quite a few, but I have to say I still have some debt. And I worry every day if I'm ever, ever going to be able to make it right. I mean, I'm on Social Security. I get tiny little bit of money a month, and I'm doing the best I can. I pay my debts on a timely fashion, as far as I'll set up a payment plan with somebody. So I've gotten a lot taken care of, but I still have debt. Now, what if I can never pay everybody back? How is that going to affect me? Well, I don't think it'll affect my sobriety, but it's going to affect me in knowing that I wasn't able to make everything right with the people I owed. So do you have anything to add on that?
Well, all I can really suggest is, don't forget, we live one day at a time. And we do the best we can one day at a time. If you're making an honest effort to pay your debts back, mm-hmm. I mean, today you're doing what you're supposed to be doing one day at a time. All we got's today, and that's it. And for me, I don't know if I'm overstepping here, but I try not to beat myself up for what happened yesterday, because all that's going to do is keep me tied to the past. And I do not want to be tied to the past. I want to be able to turn around and look at it, and turn around and walk away from it. I don't need to be tied to the back. All I try to do is live the best I can today. I can't handle any more than that with me and God. I just can't. So that's the only thing I want to say on that. I don't want to give you any.
Well, thank you. That helps. And my sponsor tells me all the time I'm beating myself up too much. Just live for today. You're making an honest effort. I've, like I said, gotten a lot paid, but I still owe a lot. So thank you for that. That helps.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Ed, I have a question. And you may have touched on this in the context of having someone who's passed on, but what if there's someone that either is no longer in your life, has moved out of the area, you don't know how to get a hold of them, that sort of thing. Do you have any recommendations, any suggestions about how to make that sort of an amend?
Well, you know, that's something I got a cousin, and I rarely, if I ever hear from him, and he's battled with his addiction his whole life, and I pray for him. He's on my prayer list. And when God sees fit for me to make amends to him, because I did him some harm too in early sobriety. I was a jackass. I really was. So there's people on my prayer list that I talk about with God on a frequent basis. And I don't think we can do much more than that, because it's all in God's time anyways. And if I'm acknowledging the harm that I've done somebody and put it in God's hands for his time. With my ex-wife was a really good example. Every time I saw her at the store or whatever, there was other people with her, and it was just disastrous. But when God thought I was ready, he put my ex-wife right in front of me. And that's all I can say. You know, I don't keep track of her. I didn't know where she was at and all that good stuff. But I think it's, like I say, keep God in the conversation. I think that's the biggest thing we can do on all this stuff. So I don't know if that helped or whatever, but that's what I got.
Other questions?
This is Cindy. I don't really have a question, but I did want to say comment about your how important it is to run past your sponsor, what you're thinking about doing, and who you think you need to make amends to, and how does this sound? What am I going to say? Because there were some people that I thought I needed to make amends to, and my sponsor said I didn't. And, just because I tried making amends before I had a sponsor, and it even worked. The steps that didn't work.
Yeah.
I think it's just really important to go when it comes time for that, to go over what I'm planning on doing with my sponsor, to get somebody's opinion that's not emotionally involved in it, you know. So,
right.
And I like that you reminded me of that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. You know, one thing I'll add to that too. Most of the time, I'm not talking about me now. Most of the time, when we do the steps, it's early on in our sobriety. Say within the first year-ish. Now, I don't know about anybody else. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't making very good decisions in my life. So for me to go on and make major decisions to talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm sorry, I don't think I want to do that alone if I'm newly sober. And I really highly suggest, like Cindy, talk to your sponsor about it, because, you know, the best decisions we ever made were – well, the only best decision I ever made was coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. And none of us got here because we had a great lives. So those decision making early on, I'm going to go make amends to my boss for all the money that I stole. Well, you may not have a job. Hey, you still owe the money. You know, that's just an example. So Cindy is right in that fact. So that's it on that one.
Other questions or comments in the form of a question?
Hi, I'm Leslie, alcoholic. I raised my hand, but anyway.
Sorry.
One of the few times I follow the rules and it doesn't matter anyway. But thank you, Ed. I think it was, I enjoyed listening to you share tonight. I agree. I think it's real important to talk about financial amends. I think it's something that we pretend doesn't exist a lot of times in Alcoholics Anonymous, that, you know, there's a lot of wreckage that can be made by financial irresponsibility, and so on. But the question I have, though, more to the point, is that I too, you know, what you said, I was pretty young when I got sober, and so I didn't have children and all of that. I didn't have spouses. I didn't start doing that stuff till I got sober, and I made all the mistakes again anyway. So I was wondering if my first sponsor actually told me that I would make a lot of the mistakes I made drunks all over again sober, just to prove to myself it really wasn't just the booze, it was me. And so I was wondering if you could talk about any sober amends, you know, things that just, you know, went sideways from alcoholic thinking or immaturity. Because, I mean, I can tell you my list, but this is your time to share. So I was wondering what if anything you had to say on that.
Thank you. I was 25 years old when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was working at what is now, well, it was Giant Eagle then, but I started out with Value King and Giant Eagle took over. I had almost 10 years there, right? I had a brilliant idea. I was going to go sell potato chips. At 9 years and 6 months. And back then I had to have 10 years to vest my rights for pension.
There you go.
Guess what? I lost that pension. That's just one. You know, I shouldn't have got married to my first wife. She's not a bad person, but I got married in a blackout. It was 23 years old or something like that, you know. And I had a lot of jobs after I got sober. After that, a lot, you know, it probably might not have been the best job, but I could have waited another 6 months. You know, and today I love my wife dearly, but I think when I was 5 years sober, I took a hostage. I really did. I made her life miserable and my son's life miserable for a lot of years. You know, I was untreated alcoholism at the best. And my ego really took over because I was 25 years old when I got here and I put the plug in a jug. So Ed was fine. Well, I about find myself right into a bullet between the eyes. That I put there, wanted to put there myself by the time it all crashed down around me. So yeah, you're right. You know, just because you put the plug in a jug doesn't mean your life's going to get better if you don't put the work into step recovery. You got to do some step work and you got to try to give this thing back to somebody else. Because with me holding it, the reins again, or still after I got sober, I was a more dangerous weapon because I wasn't putting the poison in my body. But I was the problem from the get-go. So, yeah, that's a good reminder. Good reminder.
Well, thank you, Ed. I mean, I made plenty of sober mistakes, trust me. You know, and anyone who's heard me lead or talk to me could probably start the list, you know, right now. But thank you. And sometimes it seems so much harder to face. It's like I wasn't drunk and I still acted like such an ass. You know?
Yeah.
I was really a selfish so and so, you know, and whatever. But thank you for addressing the point.
Thank you.
Hi, Ed. I'm John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
Hey, Ed. Listen, I was, when I did my 9-step, I made amends to, you know, a person, and you know, that was, he lives in Pittsburgh. Actually, it's my father. And then I'm back in Pittsburgh again this time, and I asked him to if he'd accept my amends from before, and he still said no. So what do you have about someone that keeps on saying, like, doesn't keep on saying, but like for right now, he just says no. And I like push my stuff, push my trash to the side and the curb. And, you know, I just, I need a little advice on that.
Well, John, you and I have talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to repeat myself again, John, maybe write this down. Okay. Clean your side of the street. You can't worry about anybody else. You can't worry about, you did the right thing by making amends the first time to your father. And you and I talked about that.
All right.
Leave it there and give it to God.
Okay.
Don't beat a dead horse. You're just going to make that situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You and I talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
So
I got to get it through to my mind. And right now it's not, because, you know, he's right where, you know, the house I'm living at in Pittsburgh right now, but I'll be back in the area on Monday. Well, so.
You know, all we're supposed to do is clean our side of the street without making judgment on the other person.
Okay. So, all right, Ed. Well, thanks a lot.
I said it again, John. I said it again. Clean your side of the street and leave it lay there. That's all you can do, and give it to God. That's it.
Okay. So, thanks, pal.
Thanks, John.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Helen here again. Just thought of it, made me think of it when John was talking. Have you ever had a person continue to bring up things that you did in the past after you made amends to them? And how do you handle it if it happens? Or how would you handle it if it happened?
You know, I have, and I'm not going to talk about it too much because it's a family member. Luckily, I can laugh at her because I tell her, you know, when people aren't in the program, it's a lot different, especially like I've had bad work experiences over the years, and they want to throw my crap back in my face at me. And I didn't take it very well for a lot of years. I was right back at them. You know, the last few years I worked, I tried to live what I was taught in AA. And, you know, that's part of like swallowing and, okay, yeah, you're right. I did do that. And then just kind of let it roll off, and, you know, acknowledge what they're talking about, because you can't fix them. You can't fix other people. I can do as the best I can, like I was telling John, and admit what I've done wrong and lay everything at their feet and be done with it. I clean my side of the street, and you can't help them clean their side, I guess. So, you know, and it's not easy. But one of our biggest things that I found that I have destroyed a lot of is relationships, and some of them aren't repairable. Be it just a casual relationship, somebody you work with, a boss or a coworker or family members or friends, some of them are not repairable because I screwed them up too damn bad. And that's part of the what I need to live with, and part of my living amends to live like a good human being is supposed to live with my fellow human beings on this earth. So some of that, it's hard to take, but I'm a little bit bigger person than I used to be. And they may even have the right to throw it back at me, come with the crap I pulled. So I'm okay with it. It hurts, you know, and I get it. I get what John's saying. It hurts, but that's part of life. I'm a little bit tougher than I used to be. And I don't mean it in a negative way. I got a little bit harder outer crust. And some of the people that do it to me, yeah, it twinges a little bit. But I'm okay with it. I can deal with it. Did I answer your question?
Sure did. Thanks, Ed.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
It's like pulling eye teeth tonight.
Hi, Ed. It's Kevin. I would like to just address the group as a whole. I put a message in the chat and I asked everybody what their thoughts are. If you could take a moment before we close the meeting to give me your thoughts on the in-person in person of this meeting and just give me your thoughts. That I would appreciate that. The other thing is Bruce is coming in, so maybe we can ask Bruce about his dog. But when you're working with somebody and you talk to them and you have their list, do you use that list as like a checklist, or you've mentioned a number of times, you know, it's in God's time, but you know, there's in the fifth step, it talks about, you know, we also do that with another person and God, because, you know, God's pretty lenient with me, and, you know, we'll get to it, Kevin. Don't worry about it. So, you know, that kind of laissez-faire, let it come to you, is okay, but is, you know, what degree of effort is involved before you just wait for God to put it in your lap?
Well, some of those stuff are obvious. If you have an ongoing relationship with friends and family, I think maybe those should be addressed. It's some of the ones that you aren't. Like my ex-wife for the longest time wasn't able to do it. It drove me nuts. So it wasn't one of the ones I was able to do. It's one of the ones I wanted to do the most. So yeah, you need to leave it in God's hands. And if you're going to make an amends, if you're going to go in a vehicle and make an amends, you better be praying the whole way there, because you need all the help you can get. You know, that's to keep God in the conversation. You know, and when someplace it says you should make some speedy amends, or you can't wait on, you shouldn't, because this is part of the healing process for us. And not only healing, it humbles us. And that's what we're supposed to do, a little bit more humble human beings. I'm still working on that, by the way, but, you know, I think it's due diligence. Once you have a list, I think you're obligated to make, how can I put this? You're obligated to address those amends some way, shape, or form. There's some that I'll never be able to make in person. That's already been talked about. There's some that I've had to readdress and make better amends to. There's some that better left alone. All that stuff. But I think you need to address them all. And if you shouldn't address some of these, because most of the time when we're talking about this, you're talking about a new member of Alcoholics Anonymous, not somebody who stuck around for a lot of years, didn't do this crap like I should have early on. So thinking is not right early on in recovery. So you've got to do it with your sponsor and God involved. So that list needs to be addressed, Kevin. I believe that. You can't ignore the list. And then backpedaling and stuff, your sponsor shouldn't put up with either. You know, there's a little bit of guidance needed here. So did I address that properly, Kevin? Did you understand what I said?
Yeah, I think that's good. A follow-up to that would be, you mentioned you've had to, I guess, re-amends. So how did you approach that situation, and how did that come up?
Like I said, I'm very fortunate to be in a family that has been around Alcoholics Anonymous most of my life. My sisters and my dad. And my mom was a little bit different because I only had a certain amount of time to do that. And I didn't know that. God did, again. But the one I was talking about was my father. I hated that man forever. Even after I made amends to him, I hated that man. It was all his fault. My life sucked and it was his fault. But when I was humbly able to ask his forgiveness and pardon, or whatever you want to say, we were able to communicate as human beings. And that was a big blessing, because he has been a big influence in my life. And I understand that. I try to take it more as a positive today. But he didn't let me off the hook that easy. And I'm all right with that today. I didn't like it when it happened. He knew where to turn the screws at. Let's put it that way. But it was done for a reason. It was done out of love. But for a lot of people who don't have that benefit, or people who aren't in the program, you know, don't get me wrong when I say this. When I make amends to people that aren't close to me, I still mean them amends, but they're easy to, okay, I clean my side of the street, that's the end of it. But with family members that are closer, cleaning my side of the street just doesn't always cut it. I got to help them clean their side a little bit too with a hug. And maybe there's a response back. A little more efforts has to be taken, in my opinion. It's for me, because I have a small family. I got to keep my family together. So, like I said, due diligence with sponsorship and guidance from sponsors and higher power. Like I say, redoing amends isn't always a bad thing, because I've learned one thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. If I do my due diligence in my recovery work, in my step work, I have a different outlook on life than I did when I first got to Alcoholics. A different understanding of who I am and what I need to be doing to be happy today and a little bit more peaceful. And it doesn't mean glossing over my amends, because it's going to hurt me too much and I'm afraid. I'm not afraid of pain no more. Pain's a touchstone of, what is that, touchstone of recovery, as they say? I don't know. Sometimes you got to step into the crap, you know, to get a little bit further ahead. And sometimes it means stepping twice. If I didn't do it properly to begin with, I need to readdress it. And that's, like I said, only me and my higher power and my sponsor are going to know if I need to readdress something today. And maybe I do. I'm just not seeing it. And that's where a good sponsorship comes in. So did I address that question properly? I
don't know. Yeah, thanks, Ed, very much. You did a great job. Thanks again.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, thanks very much. So